Hello and welcome to this podcast from the Business Marketing Club, or BMC. I'm Dave Stevens, I'm a business marketer and I'm chair and co-founder of the BMC. The Business Marketing Club is a not-for-profit community network of business marketing professionals and people interested in business marketing. It's run by business marketers for business marketers. We provide face-to-face and virtual event meetups, training, podcasts, blogs, newsletters, mentoring, social media groups, community groups, and gatherings for business marketers. Today, we have almost 5,000 participants across the world. If, though, this is the first time you've joined us, you're very welcome. Check us out at businessmarketingclub.org.uk. If you've been with us before, well, welcome back. It's really good to have you along again. Every profession needs its heroes, the people who have the courage to challenge convention, drive outstanding achievement, and give the discipline a noble name. In this episode, we'll be speaking in depth to one such business marketing hero, learn about what they do, how they've got here, and a bit about what's made them who they are today. I'm delighted to be joined today by the CEO and founder at Adicient, Ali Richards. Ali, welcome to our podcast.
Hi, Dave. Welcome to you as well. Seeing you again. Anyway.
Yeah, it's great to see you. And for the benefit of our listeners, where do we find you today?
I am at home today, but home working is not unusual for me. So whilst it might be that the rest of the world's just caught on to it, I've been doing it for about 6 years. So that's not a challenge for me, but I am in deepest, darkest Hampshire.
And I have to say, as a kind of professional home worker, you always look very organised when I look at you over the Zoom meeting. You know, you've got your big office chair and at your desk with lots of order behind you as well. It's and actually you're all on brand with the kind of colour purple across your living room, which looks lovely.
Thank you very much. Yes. Well. Purple's my favourite colour. It happened to end up in my company brand. There you go.
Well, that's a lovely segue then, because your company is Adicient. So you should tell us a bit about what Adicient is and does, but also what your role there entails.
Okay, so I'm CEO and co-founder, as you said. Adicient is a tool that allows organisations to map the buyer's journey, align content to it, and then drive customers through that journey with an AI. That's in simple terms, keeping it short. What it means I do is everything from accounting to marketing and sales, consulting, HR, legal, customer support. Yeah, you know, when you're in a small business, it's about doing everything. But having said that, I have, you know, I'm going to try and keep this to what I do from a marketing point of view,
yeah,
to make that relevant for your listeners. But yeah, it's all of those things. I think the challenges with a small business is it's predominantly about always pivoting, so that if something doesn't work, you are constantly executing a tactical strategy. So that the advice for marketeers in a small company is that don't sort of worry about change. You can't be somebody that is, you know, worries about change. It has to, you know, you're never right. Tomorrow you're going to have a new different answer to the problem. So you've just got to learn enough of everything to not to put too much emphasis on any single approach. I remember when I met with one of my old team from O2, and she said, "Oh, you've changed your tune." And I think that said more about her than me, which was that I keep changing. I don't ever assume that I've got it right today. There might be always something tomorrow that makes me go, "Oh, that's new. There's something to learn from that." So I think there's the every day's a school day when you're in a startup. Maybe that's true in other organisations as well.
No, it's a nice way of looking at it, but and I appreciate you too kind of particularly focusing in on the marketing elements of your job. So you must, in that long list of marketing things, have things in there that you enjoy and look forward to, and you know, you think, oh, this is, I'm really glad this marketing thing is coming up. And also things that you conversely kind of dread and see as kind of big challenges and so on. So I wonder if you could take me through, you know, what's at the top of the marketing enjoyment list and what's at the top of the marketing challenge list and why?
The enjoyment list is working with clients, and actually, you know, last month with one of my clients, I presented to the Warwick Business School MBA execs, and we presented our case study, and we just had enormous fun. There were the most engaged audience, you know, they had hundreds of questions for us. So that's a lot of fun when you get to share your success. I mean, who doesn't like sharing success stories? That's kind of the good fun bit. And I think leading on from that is anything where it goes right is fun. You know, so those are always the things you celebrate, and you just keep finding, what am I doing today that's going to work? So in the last year, we have landed our biggest deal, and that's been from inbound marketing and using our own technology. So we've used inbound content, and we are eating our own dog food, so to speak, and it's working. And that, so, you know, in terms of the enjoyment, that was a great reason for celebration to say it worked, we've proved it.
Feel this vindicated.
Well, absolutely, as well, because we have been way ahead of the curve, and now people are catching up with us, which is really, that's really enjoying, because now people are playing our story back to us.
And you should get you. It's lovely, but I'm aware that probably we need to go down a level, because this is maybe sounding quite abstract to our listeners. So can you tell me what you mean when you say you were ahead of the curve? What was the curve that you were ahead of?
So I think the thing is what we do is advocate that content needs to be joined up and take customers through the buying journey, and it needs to be aligned to where they are in a decision-making process. So they might be looking for proof, or they might be looking to consider and compare things, or they might be on the threshold of making a decision. Wherever they are in that journey, you have to have the right content to support them at that time, and it needs to be connected. So it's this idea of no dead ends and bringing all the content to the fore. So I think to address the why were we ahead of the curve, and why is people, have everyone caught up? I think the pandemic has actually caught people up with us more than anything else. And that's because there's this recognition that actually content has to do a lot of the sales work for you, not just marketing. And therefore understanding that what Google was saying, say 3 years ago, which was that a buyer will be 86% of the way through their buying decision before they speak to sales. What the catch up is that organizations recognize that that's through content. And actually, if you own that content and you own the journey, you keep the customers with you throughout that journey, you're more likely to convert them, because they're not going to wander off somewhere else looking for the answers that they're trying to get to their problems. And so being ahead of the curve is talking about customers' needs and not your product. Okay. And you don't get your product until way down the process as the answer. They've got to, you know, start with needs and work their way through that. But I initially, and you know, Scott, my partner, we met lots of resistance, because campaigning is always a moment in time for the 3% of people that are ready to buy right now. Mm. So, you know, one of the things we talk about, that in any given market at any given time, only 3% of the audience is ready. And yet most campaigns and messaging and marketing that was out there was just aimed at those 3%. And so all your competitors are aimed at that 3% as well. Mm. And so we're getting people catching up with us. And I'm saying we're still probably ahead of the curve. We have a lot of work to do to tell the rest of the world about how to do this and you know, getting there. But the project that we've won is with a very big brand. So we'll be shouting about that soon.
Which is great. which is great news. And I guess, therefore, you were kind of seeing a lack of distinctiveness in the marketplace because everybody was focusing on that 3%. And equally, you've got 97% of the audience being completely uncatered for whatsoever in the space that you discuss.
Well, and with the one I was talking about that I was discussing with the Warwick Business School is Split It. And what we've been working with them for over a year now. And what we've seen in their data, the earlier they start in the journey, the higher the conversion rate.
Right.
So the further back in that 97% you are, that you're the person supporting that customer through this decision and this supporting this need, they're more likely to stay with you when they get to which products are going to support them.
Okay.
So rather than just heading down the, you know, we've got the latest headphones, what are we talking about in terms of, you know, how do I get music when I'm running? So, you know, go back 3 steps before you start telling me about the features and functions of your headphones, to kind of give you an example.
So I think I'm being a lousy questioner here because I diverted the course of my own question. You answered the highlights bit of marketing question, you know, which is the kind of vindication when things go well. And I'm not sure I heard the opposite of that. What's the real pain of marketing as far as you're concerned?
Well, my particular challenge is I've got no budget. I have to do everything as cheaply or as free as I can. So when you've got no money, it actually makes you more creative. And I probably, you know, you don't necessarily need to lean on creatives all the time. So you have to do a lot more yourself. So luckily, my business partner, Scott, is a journalist, so I've learned to write a lot better because I had a lot of red pen all over my stuff to begin with. So, you know, that was a challenge for me. I was used to writing technical documents and I've had to write like a human being for a change. So, yeah, not having budget when you've got big ideas of things that you want to do is one of the biggest challenges. I think then within that is, you know, you having to be very focused on who you think you can target, who's going to see your messaging, how you're going to get it out there. And we lean on LinkedIn an awful lot. And it's just, you have to learn the tricks of how their algorithm works to make sure that you get the most views of everything. And, you know, it's simple things like learning how to post on LinkedIn in the right way. So, you know, when you do your comments and when you do your ads afterwards so that the algorithm doesn't pick it up and all that sort of stuff. And you know, we've worked with clients who don't know that LinkedIn will suppress you as well if you do the wrong things. So, I'm going off down a bit of a tangent there, but those are things you end up learning because you're doing it. You've not got an agency to do it. So that's the challenge, is I have to do everything. But it's also kind of fun. I know how to do everything. I don't do everything well, though, I would say.
I'm sure that you you do everything in a kind of more efficient and effective way than those people who might be applying an agency to help them might. But so there's a shorthand to things, isn't there, that you do on a regular basis and on a daily basis. So thanks for that. You've not always been CEO of Odissient. So I wonder if you can take us on your career journey. And I'd like you to do it in a kind of very particular way, because quite often these sorts of questions, when I see other conversations like this, they can come across as being quite self-indulgent with the individual. For our listeners, there's something I'd love them to be able to take away from your experience. So I'd love you to kind of talk about the journey that's gotten you here, but maybe pick up things that other people might want to emulate, or bits of learning that they might be able to take away and kind of learn from the many years of experience that you've got under your belt?
Yeah, so I'll start by saying I am an old bird, so it is quite a long story. So I have shortened this down a little bit. I've made some notes here for you. So I actually got to marketing from a technical background. So I was a software engineer in the defence industry to begin with. So I actually wrote firmware for submarine warfare systems.
Whoa!
Yeah, so I can't tell you any more about that, otherwise I have to kill you. But that is a whole other story, and probably that would be lots of interesting anecdotes for another time, no doubt. So, however, along the way, I did start working with CRM and marketing software, and then predictive analytics and AI. So that was kind of, I ended up in marketing technology, if you like, from going through technology. But that's also where, to your point, that's interesting background of, you know, understand the technologies behind how to do marketing, and really understanding CRM, I think, is hugely important to marketeers, because just knowing how to have a single customer view, to keep all the contact history right, to do all those sorts of things that to me are second nature. Marketeers aren't necessarily taught about doing that when they go through standard training. And it, you know, it just makes life easier if you do that all well and properly.
Is there a particular thing that you would advise marketers to do in order to be able to get that experience under their belt?
I think if you can work with the CRM teams in your, you know, in your company, work out what CRM software company your company has. Most of the CRM platforms have the same basic things. You have a contact history, a contract log, which creates a single customer view. And then you've got to sort of understand how databases are put together so that you can see, well, there might be stuff where you're maintaining the information, and then might be a warehouse where you're doing insights and analytics. And that, to your point, and so many marketeers don't get to know their data people well enough. And, you know, in this big deal I've been working with just this last week, I was working with the data analytics to look at their predictive models. And I was coming at it as a marketeer and saying, what's the model telling me about the people that have this high propensity to buy? Mm. You know, it said that they're high growth customers. Well, is that banded? Can you tell me more? And because the analysts were shocked that somebody wanted to dig into the model. I said, no, but you should be taking this to the marketeers. It's what they need to know to get their messaging right. So that would be one thing to say, dig into how predictive analytics works, how insights is in the data. There will be a lot of stuff that's missing. Of course there is, because it can only look at the data that you record. Mm. But your CRM platform should be a mine of information that when you start to look at correlation between things, you will be understanding more about what sort of messaging you can do. So you might find, look, it's more women than men that buy your product. What does that tell you as a marketeer? Mm. I know that's very simple, but do you know that? Have you actually dug into your data and found that out? And that's what I would say, that, you know, you need to go learn about what you've got available from a data point of view, because so much is data driven now. If you understand how it's put together and how to talk to your data analysts, I appreciate they don't speak English, but have a go. And you might have to prod and probe them a bit before you get the answers you want, because you don't speak the same language as them. And that's where you've got to learn how they come up with things. So for example, do you know what the concordance of the coefficient is? You should do, because it's really important. And I'm going to leave that one with you, Dave, to go and look it up.
I'm already on Google.
So I'll carry on with the story a bit. So that was the software bit, to sort of head down that route and have a look at things. But I did actually grow up around sales, and I've always had a sales hat on. So I've sold vacuum cleaners and heating systems and horses and big hairy implementations of systems, and change management programs and all this sort of stuff. But what remains in that, and this is back to the analyst stuff, is understanding the customer, understanding triggers, understand motivations and psychology. That's really important to a marketeer. And you should be a salesperson as much as you are a marketeer, because you're just doing sales through content. That's really what you're doing. Mm. And the content is your messaging and how you're actually getting that out there. So if you get interested in psychology and be curious about what motivates people, would be another thing to, you know, say to emulate, is because that's what gets you under the skin of doing great marketing. Mm-hmm. And you know, what got me to here was seeing that shift from face to face, where you could take somebody out on the golf course and do a deal, which you can't now. And particularly in B2B, it's more content driven, and we need to take what the salesperson has been doing, what's in their head, and we need to get that into content. So you need to sidle up to your salespeople and unpick their brains. What is it that they know about why your customers buy that you should be pulling into your marketing? Mm-hmm. So as I said, what others can emulate? Well, I've said this already, but always be curious. Every day is a school day. Learn how people tick. If you can, do some sales training. You know, that it won't hurt you to, if your company has a standard training for the salespeople, you as a marketeer should be doing it. You should be going through what they go through, so you know how you're going to support them. Because in most cases, and you're going to tell me this right or wrong, but in a lot of B2B situations, marketing's job is to generate leads for sales and to support sales.
Yeah.
So you need to know their job from the inside to make sure you are doing the best marketing job you can. So that would be the other thing. Sit, sidle up to your salespeople and understand how the sales process works. The next thing I would say is know your numbers. How does your business make money? How does it lose money? And that might seem like blasphemy, but you don't have to be creative to know that. And actually, you know, creativity generally, I wouldn't say is the top of my marketeer's, you know, skills list. That's what your agency's for. I know I've just been saying that I have to be creative because, you know, I don't have an agency. I have to have a small budget. So, but in larger situations, you can, I mean, I still do, when I have budget, I will get a designer or somebody who's got specific skills to do things for me. I do know the limits of that, so that creativity is not top of my marketing list. Top of my marketing list is strategy and determining what I should be doing, who I should be messaging, how I'm getting the messages to them, what the messages are, and how I'm going to take them on the buying journey. And that to me is that's the bigger list of what a marketeer should be good at. Hope that makes sense.
It does make lots of sense. And can you just thread it a little bit into the career journey that you took? So you went from submarine defense systems through sales, through you also spent quite a lot of time, I think, in the kind of CRM space within telco and technology, right? Or before you got to Odyssean.
Yes, absolutely. Yes. So the thread, if you like, is the technology piece. And the jobs that I've moved through were always to do with creating software, writing software, running big programs, implementing software. So I actually spent a long time in financial services and in the insurance industry. I developed back office insurance administration systems. So I did the back office system for New York Life for the Wesleyan. So I was solution architect and I was under 30 at the time. So I was heading up a team of 60 people. So it was always very much the technical stuff. And the sales bit in that was that because I was always the solution lead, I would be part of the sales teams in those big projects to sell the solution to companies. So I would be doing what's called pre-sales, although I'm not really sure why it's called pre-sales, but anyway. But it would be the explaining how the system works and all that sort of stuff. And then along that route, I started working with the technology which is now Pega. But at the time, it was a much smaller company, and I went into O2 as head of CRM and implemented that technology, which is now a decisioning AI that's implemented in many, many systems. But the project that I did in O2 in implementing that was the first one in the world of it. So we put that AI into 5,000 seats in the contact center for O2, and we got significant results. We made 75 million on EBITDA in the first year through cross and upsell with that. So that's where I started straying more into marketing and less in technology, because I could see that the technology could do more if marketing understood it better. So I became firstly a conduit between technology and marketing, so that the marketeers understood what they could do and then help them do more, and then, you know, kind of cross the line and became the marketeer, if you like.
Sure, sure. And I was going to ask you a little bit about, what's the kind of latest within the business marketing space? What is it that keeps you engaged? But I kind of think you've already answered that question a little bit, because you've talked to us a bit about the importance of focusing on the customer experience over the direct sell.
I that is one thing, but I would also think it, you know, the things that I love working on are marketing strategy with clients. You know, when they've not, you know, there's many companies out there that we work with that actually have never had good marketing support before, so they don't actually know how to define what their marketing strategy is. And there's nothing better than what you've planned for them works, and you can see them be successful. You know, when they get good results, that's just as good as you getting good results. So, you know, your ideas are validated, and who doesn't want that? But,
wow, absolutely.
So yeah, there is that bit, but also leading clients to the water trough, if you like, to drink the Kool-Aid. That's quite fun too, especially when you see seeing their faces when it dawns on them actually how simple it is when they do it right. This isn't really rocket science, is it, when you do it well? But it seems like some sort of dark art if you've never really gone into it.
That's very true. But and Ali, you've kind of been a bit ahead of the curve in terms of trying to use customer data to help talk to them about what they need and facilitate conversations that the client wants to be able to have. What would you say is next? What's the next big business marketing thing? What should we be looking out for in the future?
So there's going to be more of the same for a bit, which is that digital and content-led is going to bed in and become more prevalent, that more people understand that that's the way not only they need to do marketing, but the way they need to do sales. And we've seen an enormous shift because of the pandemic, but that will go further. And people will want to have more transparency. So we'll see more around things being ethical and green, and the transparency of products and pricing, so that we will see people needing to be clearer about that and not so, shall I say, fudgy around their prices. So I think what happens to marketing is also a reflection of what's happening on the other side of the fence. So what I mean by that is that more companies will have professional buyers, and that will be beyond what we see in procurement today, because procurement today is almost a process rather than actually, you know, a science. It's more like ticking boxes than it is actually negotiating and researching and actually understanding how to buy. So I think that that's how buying will shift, and therefore marketing will have to keep up with that. And I think we will see that sales starts to diminish. Now, I don't mean that we're not selling. I mean that the function of sales will merge into marketing. Mm-hmm. Now, that's the potential of content actually doing the sale for you. Now, that's not going to make a lot of salespeople very happy, because they, you know, there will still be situations where that occurs. But I think that is where it's headed.
Okay. Well, you're not on a sales podcast here, I think you're relatively safe. We've got to the point in the interview where I ask people to imagine that they're stranded on a desert island, and to tell us what business marketing book or website or model is so important to them that they'd want to be able to keep it with them.
So I couldn't think of one for this question. I've got four.
Four, brilliant. Go for it.
So I would take Never Split the Difference by Chris Voss. And Chris Voss is a former FBI negotiator. And he negotiated hostages being released and stuff.
Okay.
And you might not think that's a businessing book, but it's incredibly interesting with regards to how to negotiate things. So, for example, never say why, always ask how. That's one thing I learned from him. But yeah, it's very, very interesting what he's learned about how to do that. And if we could translate that into content, that's going to be incredibly interesting.
Okay.
The next one is a book called Deep Work by Cal Newport. And Deep Work is about how you focus. And in this world at the moment, we're all too distracted by too many things.
Yeah.
But he's proved that, so he's a professor, and I can't remember right now which university, but professors, and I won't have these numbers exactly, you'll find this in his book, they can usually only perhaps publish two or three papers a year, and he does like five a term, you know. And he manages his students, and he finishes at 5 o'clock and never works overtime.
Goodness me. Well, there's a lot to learn from him.
There definitely is. And it's just simple things about how you set people's expectations on what email you will answer. If they don't put a good subject heading on it, it doesn't open it.
Okay.
But the principles of the deep work thing is also how, when you concentrate and focus and do something that's a bit harder than you can manage, it actually makes your brain grow, in that it creates more neural connections if you do that work. And if you keep doing it, you get more and more. Mm. So I think making our brain stretch and keep going and stuff is really important for new ideas, which we all need. And along that idea, my third one is Lateral Thinking by Edward de Bono, because it's about how to think about things differently and get in a different flow. And the fourth one is kind of a book and a podcast. It is The Tipping Point by Malcolm Gladwell, and his podcast, which is Revisionist History. So those are my four things.
Really eclectic library that you've got there.
I know. Well, I thought it's just they're all really interesting things that I would say, you know, yes, business marketing books are going to be helpful, but to my earlier points of being curious, there's so many things that you can know about that will help and add to your marketing capabilities. So I wanted to share things that are about expanding your skills in lots of areas.
That's perfect. And finally, Ali, if people want to find out more about Adisient and your philosophy, is there somewhere they can go to look you up?
You can look me up on LinkedIn and also odyssient.com. That's O-D-Y-S-S-I-A-N-T. And you will find more about how it works. And on my LinkedIn, you can see all that history, although I don't think I put all of it on LinkedIn, because we don't, do we?
Well, no. Although, if you wanted to, Ali, as we record this ahead of time, you've got space to be able to do that. If you
yeah, I think I've cut it down so I don't look so old on LinkedIn.
Ali Richards, thank you so much for making the time to talk to us today. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you, Dave.
All the best. And that's all for this episode of the Business Marketing Club podcast. Thanks to my guest, Ali Richards. And thanks to our technical man from Through the Eye, Andrew Gresham. Thanks to you for listening. Do rate or review us if you can. And email me at davestevensnow@gmail.com if you'd like to be a speaker or offer feedback. There's more where this came from. Just go to businessmarketingclub.org.uk. And I hope to see you again. Thanks for listening.